And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. This one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show. We send our signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for a good measure. What were you laughing at? Did you think I was missing my words?
I just liked it. I've missed it all week. So that's what it was. going through all the words.
Thank you. I'm happy to hearten your day.
This
is good.
You did.
Speaking of which, that was my favorite bump a minute ago.
That's what it was.
So I had to let that one play out. And I could tell that a couple times last week, Butters would look at me like, "Are you going to talk? Are you going to?" And I just,
I got to let it play, man.
I have to go let it. I just keep it rolling, dude. It's Black Crows.
I know you got to let it play.
It's Black Crows. Couple more texts and I'll jump right in. TL from Huntsville says, "Thank you, Senator. Another timely and significant monologue. Prayers for Israel, prayers for the peace of Jerusalem. It's also past time for America to be prepared at home." Yes, sir, you are correct. John from Huntsville is laying it out there. He says, "Boomer, I would have had the same pick 'em record as you, but I had a Mitch McConnell brain freeze moment because even after I saw some information that made me want to switch from Baylor to Texas Tech, for some stupid reason I chose not to. So, Boomer, consider that a freebie because it won't happen again."
Thank you, John. I appreciate that because I did. I had some slip ups myself.
Oh yeah, we all know it's fixed. I don't know how you do it, but you fix it. It's just there. It is. JT Lacey Springs says Hamas, a new level of evil. Yes, sir. It's. And by the way, I'm going to get into that in a minute because what we're seeing right now is next level. This is. They're literally calling this Israel's 9/11, and when you look at the they only have 9 million people, y'all. The whole country is this. Not even twice the size of Alabama. 9 million people. We're pushing close to over 900 plus have been confirmed killed in the attacks. Well, what we're looking here is a per capita version that compares to a 9/11 in terms of its scope and impact. But it's more than that. The thousands and thousands who've been injured, those are the ones who've been killed, the thousands and thousands injured. West from Huntsville says, "It's time we add the Muslim squad to the Palestinian list." He says, "These people are straight terrorists in our country. I hope Israel flattens all of Gaza, Lebanon, and Iran." And our feckless president has no comment today for the rest of the day. Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing. So part of what I'm talking about today is peace through strength. And it's not just what you put on the battlefield. Sometimes it's what you project. We are not projecting anything that would lead any of our adversaries in the world to be a bit concerned. Now, credit where credit is due, the Biden administration has immediately said they will support Israel with everything they need. All right, those are great words. They also moved the USS Gerald Ford carrier strike force or strike group to the Middle East and to move it in closer in a show of force with the ability to then also launch if they have to. The question is, what are they going to do, if anything? And I'm not asking for boots on the ground involvement. In fact, I was listening this morning to General Jack Keane, who I just his commentary is always incisive and determined. But he pointed out, he said, in its entire history, since 1948, Israel has never asked for the U.S. to put boots on the ground, never. They have asked for assistance in terms of materiel and support, but they have never asked for us to come in there and do the job for them. They are always willing to do it themselves. He points out that what we have to watch right now is that on the northern border is Lebanon and Syria. And if Lebanon and Syria get froggy, I mean, right now, just yesterday, 12 missiles launched out of Hezbollah strongholds in Lebanon. The fight is right now not with Hezbollah, although it never went away. But I'm saying is the fight is with Hamas. If you look at a map, picture the map. Just picture the long, slender side, the size of Israel. And down on the lower side is a place called the West Bank, Gaza, the Gaza Strip. You have the West Bank and you have Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip right now is on fire. And that's where the Palestinian terrorists are largely holed up. And there it's filled with tunnels and special, you know, underground bunkers under buildings. And so when you see buildings being flattened, it's not because we decided to knock down an apartment building. It's because Hamas has a bunker in the basement, and the command and control is coming out of there, and so they have to take it out. What's interesting to me is you've got the Israelis are suffering under attacks that are random and are basically savage. There right now, there was one music festival, a music festival, mostly young kids and all having a big time in the plains, and they literally had 260 slaughtered there, women raped, gang raped, taken hostage, doors kicked in houses and neighborhoods, families dragged out. An old woman was burned alive in her house because she was deemed too frail to bother taking hostage, so they just burned her alive in her house. Y'all, this is not war. This is savagery. Israel, on the other hand, is going to do what it's got to do, and it should. The Knesset, which is Israeli parliament, the Knesset convened this past weekend in emergency session, and with virtual unanimity, they declared war for the first time since 1973. I mean, they've had fights. We've seen fights. How many times have you seen Israel, you know, fighting back against Hezbollah or Israel fighting back against, you know, or launching strikes on Syrian strongholds? And you see that periodically. Those were just incursions. Those were defensive actions. Those were momentary conflicts. In this case, they declared war. And Bibi Netanyahu told President Biden, apparently in a call over the weekend, there is no negotiation. We have no choice but to go in. In other words, it's going to be a ground war, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to be door to door, and it's going to be, you know, for those of y'all that know, it's going to be Fallujah. It's going to be rough, and I'm pretty sure there are parts of the Gaza Strip that are about to be turned into a parking lot, and they should. But what we're seeing right now is like something we've never seen before, and I look at the idea of peace through strength, and I'm thinking part of that is what you project. And I appreciate when you see American leaders and pundits and others step up and immediately say, you know, we support Israel, or you know, we stand with Israel. What's amazing is the ones who don't. And then you have people like, how about this? Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. He's the mayor of Birmingham, Phil. Why do we care about it? Well, because of this. Because when I talk about peace through strength, it's not just about what's happening on the world stage. Sometimes it's about what's happening with crime in our streets. The mayor of a city is to that city what the president is to the United States. He's the chief executive of the city. And when you've got a guy like this, Randall Woodfin this weekend tweeted out his support for Israel. Okay, well, glad to see it, sir. And then he quickly deleted it when he got negative responses from liberals on his Twitter feed. Literally. He had Stand With Israel accompanied by a flag of Israel. In 2022, he had talked about how he went to Israel on a trip and was baptized in the Sea of Galilee. He called it a powerful moment in his life. But as soon as some people began to say, you can't do that, I saw some of the comments. It was just stupid stuff. It was like, bro, you stand with Israel, I'm out of here. You know, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, what's he do? He deletes the whole tweet. Well, so that guy is, by the way, also in charge of helping curb crime in one of the biggest cities in our state. The story here, though, let's talk about peace through strength. What happens when you project that not only do we not care, or at least that we can't do, how about when we say we'll also enable your bad actions? If you'll just be nice, we'll give you lots of money. Will that be okay? This is the Biden foreign policy. So point here, story on townhall.com. State Department spokesman addressed criticism about the recent deal to unfreeze Iranian assets. You may recall this, just in the last few weeks, the Biden administration released $6 billion that they had frozen as part of sanctions against Iran. After condemning the attacks this past weekend, spokesman Matthew Miller argued that not a penny of that has been spent on things other than what it can go for, like humanitarian needs and food and medicine. That's right. Because, yeah, when the killers come in and they're threatening to blow up your house and you pay them $100, then guess what? they just don't use the $100 they already had. Money's fungible. Don't kid us. Don't try and gaslight us. Your peace through fecklessness is just really not buying much time for us. But it's not just that $6 billion. Separate story here on Daily Wire. Daily Wire reports that it was bigger than that. Daily Wire reports that Biden also greenlit a $10 billion transfer from Iraq to Iran in July. And in August, he approved the $6 billion. So it's $16 billion to the regime that is the chief sponsor of terrorism in the world. Oh, by the way, they underwrite Hamas. And oh, by the way, they also underwrite Hezbollah. And oh, by the way, they also underwrite the Houthis in Yemen. And oh, by the way, they also assist Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria. Iran is the puppet master in the back of all of this. Continuing that story here, by the way, on Daily Wire, it says Hamas, a Palestinian Islamic terror organization, confirmed that it received support for its recent surprise attacks on Israel from the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I'll also go back and point out something else in that article I had from Town Hall. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, he was also asked about the money that was given. And he finally admitted on one of the Sunday afternoon shows, he says, well, Iran has unfortunately always used and focused its funds on supporting terrorism. Well, Mr. Secretary, if you're going to precede what they do with the word always, it implies you knew before you gave them the money. You don't say that after the fact, like, well, we discovered after we gave them the $16 billion that they tend to focus their funds on supporting terrorism. No, you're saying, well, it's unfortunate, but always used and focused on funding terrorism. That's what the Secretary of State for the United States just said. That is a clear indication that he knew before he authorized the transfer of funds or the releasing of assets. Back to the story from Daily Wire. In Iran, people flocked to the streets to celebrate the deadly attacks, which killed hundreds of Israelis and wounded thousands more, shooting off fireworks, waving flags, and cheering. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson, that's an official government actor right there, Nasser Kanani said, what took place today is in line with the continuation of victories for the anti-Zionist resistance in different fields, including Syria, Lebanon, and occupied lands. But then Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, yeah, that's the leader of the country. He came out on social media and he said, God willing, the cancer of the usurper Zionist regime will be eradicated at the hands of the Palestinian people and the resistance forces throughout the region. Iran is a bad actor in the region. Iran is a bad actor on the world stage. Peace through strength, it doesn't happen when you try to appease them by saying, if we just give you some money, will you be nice? The Iranian leadership recently said, Iran will use the money for whatever it wants to. In other words, you gave us the money. Now we get to watch you pay the piper. Let's take a break right now, Boone. We'll do that. We'll take the break and we'll come right back and keep it moving. Text messages are flowing in like faster than I can keep up. We'll check in with some of those. And then we'll keep it going. Right now we're on Peace Through Strength, talking about military action. What happens next? Coming up after that, Peace Through Strength on crime and Peace Through Strength on the border. Bottom of the hour, call in from Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, we do have, last I checked, we have two church groups from Alabama that are currently stuck in Israel. They were there on, I don't know if they were there on missions trips or if they were there for, a sightseeing slash, religious excursion. But the bottom line is, I understand there are two church groups that are stuck from Alabama alone in Israel, and all flights have been canceled. Hopefully that'll get corrected sometime soon. They'll be able to get out. But there's really, I mean, they can travel into Jordan overland. There's really no safe way out. There's no safe way out right now. So blessings on them. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Brand new texter, Ronnie from Danville. Ronnie from Danville says, I went to Israel on vacation. There was people there from all different nations. They all said the reason no one would have made America is that everybody over here has a gun. Well, there's that. I would say that a lot of us have more than one. But, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and just... I don't know that we'll see a true invasion, Red Dawn style, but I think we have to keep on our watch right now for terrorist actions. I think we have to keep a watch right now around our communities. I mean, how many have crossed the southern border right now that are on the terror watch list? It was several hundred that have been detained. We don't know how many got away. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know, it's not a time to let our guard down. And meanwhile, oh, by the way, we need to stop having the FBI focused on, you know, domestic terrorism among, you know, right-wing extremist groups and Catholics and moms who speak at school boards. Focus on what we need to focus on, which is the security of the homeland. DHS, FBI need to be allowed to do what it takes in this restive environment that we're in to focus on protecting our homeland. Brian from Decatur says, no one can tell me that this many mistakes by an administration are just poor judgment. And second, no one can tell me that Biden's actually running the presidency. He can't find his way off stage without cue cards. It's awful, man. Tony from Piedmont says, well, how many times do we have to go through this? There's Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Establishment, war games. Let's talk about rules of engagement. This is the way it should work. Kick butt. No, he's no... Yeah, okay. You got text got messed up, but he says anyway. He says, "Well, I think your voice texted me, brother, and I can't." He says, "Let's go kill and break things like Rush Limbaugh once said." So if I ever ran for president, somebody asked, "What's the Williams doctrine?" I would tell you, it's on a sign right behind me in the studio, up high on the wall. It was on my team room in Baghdad, and it says, "Win friends, kill enemies." That's the Williams doctrine. Dustin from Hazel Green, it wouldn't surprise me if small tactical nukes were to be in play. This keeps escalating. I would hope not, because there's so much going on. It's very close quarters over there. This is like saying, I mean, the Gaza Strip is like saying it's Tupelo, Mississippi to, you know, Huntsville. It's that close. Richard T. from Madison says, this morning on 92.5, Senator Tuberville said it was disgusting that Democrats were fundraising off the situation in Israel. He said, but what about Republicans like Gates and Taylor Greene fundraising? And you know what? Why do I care right now? Let's go ahead and get some peace through strength right now is what I'm saying. I can't stop them from fundraising and saying, here's my position. Don't you support me? But anyway, he says, as a colonel, you know that people in temporary positions don't have the authority they need. Is this showing support for Israel? So basically, he's mad at Tuberville, and he wants all politicians to be called corrupt. I don't know what you're saying to me, Richard T., but you've lost focus, brother. Get back in the game. Joe from Birmingham says, didn't he say, I will put a hook in their jaws? I believe he did. Barry from Fultondale says, Phil, if Biden doesn't follow through with his comments of support other than sending the strike force, will China invade Taiwan? Well, I think we have to watch the world, period. Right now, you've got Ukraine is a massive, massive, massive undertaking, and we are supporting it in a massive, massive way. Our biggest ally in the Middle East is currently in a state of war, declared state of war, and China is still sitting out there licking its chops. Scott from Athens, love your monologue. Agree with you 100%. Said, I don't think it's appeasement. He says, the more pertinent information from the Obama years, many really big players and mucho dinero. So what he's saying is he thinks it's all calculated. Who knows? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, we cover down on all of it. All of it, all the issues. It's like the dude said, solid conservative and just plain right. I will tell you this, breaking news in the last little bit here since we've been on the air. A spokesperson for Hamas has just said they're going to start executing civilian hostages they took from Israel on live TV for every airstrike that hits a civilian in Gaza, which happens as a result of Hamas using them as human shields. Yeah, keep in mind, when you find out that there's a command bunker in the basement of an apartment building, what does that mean? It means they are taking the gamble that Israel won't strike that building because, you know, it's filled with potential collateral damage. Israel is saying, guess what? Here's what we're going to do. And by the way, Israel has policies. They try to mitigate damage. They do. People talk about, oh, Israel's just using their massive military might. Well, yeah. But Israel has a thing they do called roof knocking. If you haven't heard it, look it up, roof knocking. They send in a smoke munition or a light, basically a light burst, and it warns people, we're about to hit this building. You've got a little bit of time to evacuate. I mean, that's, tell me what war the bad guys will do that in. So Israel is saying, you just killed close to 1,000 of our people. You've raped and pillaged. You have done heinous things. You have kidnapped children. There are reports right now that children are being chained outside of buildings as human shields, trying to prevent them, the buildings, from being taken out. It's just, it's unbelievable. And if you have any doubts at all, to see an actual Hamas spokesperson say they're going to start executing civilian hostages on live TV for every civilian that gets killed, well, I got news, dude. Y'all bought this, and I hate it. But I am hoping right now, I mean, the Israeli special operations are every bit as good as ours. I am hoping right now there's some massive rescue operations underway or at least being, you know, put into effect. And I would imagine that our own JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command, that has our special missions units like Delta and SEAL Team 6 and others, I am betting they are on standby and probably even going forward. Let me jump on the phones real quick. I see that you hung on during the break. Is that Jeff from Indiana? Jeff Rowe, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good today, Phil. Off work, anyway.
Wow, there you go. That's right. It's Columbus Day for some people, right?
Yeah, I actually got a Columbus Day for a change. Okay. I had a doctor's appointment, so that's the only reason why I'm off.
Oh, okay. That's right. I guess goods still got to be shipped or something once in a while. But what's on your mind, man?
Hey, you know, the big thing about what's going on right now is not going to be the war between the Palestine and Israelis. It's that Iran has just signed their death warrant. I can think of no reason why that Israel will not take out Iran now, because as soon as they get a nuke, they know what's going to come in. And, you know, being that small land mass and with that population in a small place, and they have the ways to deliver it with the missiles.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a first strike on Iran probably in the near future.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going to be good.
No, I would agree. I mean, I think you're going to wind up seeing, you know, I think in the past they might have done something that had plausible deniability, like, you know, sabotaging a nuclear weapons plant or at the very least using software to destroy it from within. But I think at this point they almost are, it's to the point where we might almost expect them to do something very overt and say, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep in mind that these people have a religious fanaticism. You know, they really don't care, you know, how it happens and everything, that they're so hell-bent on destroying Israel that they'll put their own populations in jeopardy. They really don't care.
Well, I think they're also hell-bent on trying to bring a war, because some of them actually believe that's what will usher in the day of the Mahdi, which is, you know, which is the return of the of the prophet in Islam, they believe that there are certain things that will happen. I've got to go back and look and make sure I'm not conflating. Shia and Sunni are different in their beliefs, but one of them has the belief that some of these atrocities and things that have to happen are necessary to usher in the return of their Messiah. And it's difficult.
It's kind of like the Japanese. I mean, they dropped the nukes on the Japanese because it was almost the same mindset. The emperor was a godlike, and until he said the word surrender, they was going to fight the last man and child over there. And until they seen that they were going to become non-existent as a race or as a nation, then that's the only reason why they gave up what they did.
Yeah, the projected death toll from an actual physical invasion of the islands of Japan was projected to be in the tens of millions, and it's a crying shame that we wind up having to go to the nuclear arms. But nonetheless, it's a real belief that it saved a ton of people.
Yeah, what's interesting is that I used to talk about this subject to G. Gordon Liddy when he had a show on, and he was pretty knowledgeable about the Middle East there. And basically, you know, all these Arab nations, you know, nobody wants the Palestinians because they're troublemakers. I mean, they could easily, you know, accept all these people into these other countries around there and everything. They're all Arabs and stuff. But the Palestinians are basically, you know, troublemakers, because when Israel was formed, they, you know, if everybody who wanted to become, you know, Israeli and stuff, there are Arabs living in Israel now.
That's right.
Peaceful Arabs. And they was given the choice to, you know, to come on in and live peacefully. And these people here were just basically, no, we're not going to do that. We're hell-bent on destroying you. And I think the only way that anything's going to happen is they're going to have to just go across there and you know, say, you know, here, we're coming this way. We'll give you so many hours to get rid of out of this building and everything, and then they're coming, they're going to hit the ground, and they need to shove them to the sea.
Well, and I think that's what's about to happen. I mean, right now we're seeing that the fighting in Gaza is pretty significant, and the death toll is rising as we speak. But, you know, Israel didn't ask for it. It was brought to them, and they have no choice but to respond. It's a horrible situation. The question also is going to wind up being, Jeff, and we got to watch for this, is what is the U.S. physical response? What do we do, and what are they trying to draw us into? Because if they try to destabilize the Middle East, what better way than to say, and look, America fights for the Zionists, you know, or whatever. But, hey, Jeff, I got to go, man. I'm about to run out of time before I hit the break. But we'll talk again soon, man.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too,
thank
buddy.
You.
Couple minutes for the break, I'll go ahead and get some text messages in and begin to kind of wrap this one. And keep in mind, bottom of the hour, we're going to have a call from Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, founding member of Delta Force, three-star general with a career in special operations that is like bar none. We'll get his thoughts on what's happening, and I'm curious what he thinks about whether or not JSOC, and keep in mind, that's JSOC, the Joint Special Operations Command. JSOC is the combatant command that has all of these special mission units that you always hear about, like Delta Force and SEAL Team 6 and all that. So Cameron from Decatur, he says, what are the chances our enemies will try to destroy our naval forces who are speeding towards Israel? I think they're on high alert, man, and they better be. I mean, I think that we have adequate means to be able to safeguard our carrier strike fleet, but don't take anything for granted. Teresa from Town Creek says, someone posted that Americans are part of the people to kill on national TV. I'm not going to be a bit surprised. We know right now that it's been said that upwards of dozens of Americans are among the hostages that have been taken. We don't know to this moment yet how many total hostages there are, but it's a significant number, and some of them have already been executed. John from Brownsboro says, I said it before and I still stand behind it. Aggression against Ukraine was meant to siphon off our military stock, knowing that Biden wouldn't replenish our supplies so that when they escalate to Taiwan or Israel, we don't have the means to support our own troops. I've got an article here that affirms some of what you're saying, sir. Right now, we have a massive depletion of our ammunition stock, especially in our 155 howitzer shells, and we are in a major buildup trying to replenish our stocks, and it's going to take a while to get caught up. Dustin from Hazel Green, what did he send me? Sent me something, the Samson option. I've heard this before. I'm assuming it's real. I mean, I don't trust anything from Wikipedia per se, but the Samson option, I've heard of this before. It's called Samson because if you remember in the story, the biblical story of Samson, as his hair grew back and he regained his strength, He pulled down the temple in one last feat of strength and sacrificed himself in the process, but he took out his enemies. The Samson option is a name that some military analysts and authors have given to Israel's deterrent strategy of massive retaliation with nuclear weapons as a last resort against a country whose military has invaded and or destroyed much of Israel. Commentators have also employed the term to refer to situations where non-nuclear, non-Israeli actors have threatened conventional weapons. It's a horrible situation, but the close quarters of the Middle East makes that a very difficult proposition. And by the way, my recollection is Israel has never admitted that they have nuclear weapons, but the strong belief is they do, and everybody believes they do. So anyway, all right, we're taking a break. We'll take that break right now. We'll come back. We'll put a lid on this piece, peace through strength in the military, from my commentary. You guys text in if you want to, 833-687-4448. But then we'll have at the bottom of the hour Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. And then we'll switch gears, peace through strength on crime. Peace through strength. It's the only way. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be saving the world one soundbite at a time. That's what I say. So peace through strength. When I say that, what I'm saying is how you project. Force projection is a big thing in the military. I mean, you have things like presence patrols, freedom of passage in the Navy. You have presence, all right? You project that strength, but everybody knows that none of it goes into effect if you don't have somebody in the back who's willing to pull the trigger. And I don't mean like, let's go shooting. What I'm saying is there's always got to be the threat that he'll do it if he has to. There was no doubt with Trump where he stood. There was no doubt with Bush. There was no doubt with Reagan. You knew where they stood. With Obama, I'm going to draw a red line in the sand, but we're not going to follow it. And that was the Obama-Biden administration, by the way, that jerked everybody out of Iraq in such a way, not that we didn't ever need to leave. I understand leaving. How you leave matters. And jerking everybody out the way they did created a huge vacuum for ISIS, and we wound up having to go back. Afghanistan, what a debacle. Paying billions of dollars to Iran, what a debacle. The idea that we've depleted our own reserves to fund another country's fight, what a debacle. The notion that we have someone in office right now who, with U.S. hostages at risk in a war zone right now, has once again called a lid on his day. I guess it was too hard. Maybe he didn't get enough sleep this weekend. We're told, by the way, that 7.5 hours after the conflict in Israel started, the president was finally awake. So I look at it and think, you know, I can remember being downrange, and there were things, they called it commander's wake-up criteria. I mean, you got to sleep. The boss has got to sleep. But a commander's wake-up criteria are, if these things happen, you will come and get me. I will not wake up later and find out certain things happened during the night. In the meantime, kudos to them for at the very least this. Story here on military.com. U.S. is going to send a carrier strike group to the Eastern Mediterranean in support of Israel. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said Sunday he's ordered the Ford carrier strike group to sail to the Eastern Mediterranean to be available to assist Israel after Hamas attacks left more than 1,000 dead on both sides. USS Gerald Ford, the Navy's newest and most advanced aircraft carrier, and its approximately 5,000 sailors and its decks full of warplanes, will be accompanied by the cruiser USS Normandy, destroyers Thomas Hudner, Ramage, Kearney, and Roosevelt, and augmented by F-35s, F-15s, F-16s, and A-10 fighter aircraft. So it's a heavy stack, y'all, heavy stack. Meanwhile, we are depleting our stocks to the point that story here on Daily Caller says that we are We are desperately shy of what it takes to maintain the reserves of munitions that we say we have to keep on hand. The fundamental problem is we're giving them to Ukraine in such rapid rate. They're firing off 150 to 300,000 rounds a month of 155 shells alone. And we're stocking them up and stocking them up, and we can't manufacture enough to replenish. And it's because there's no plan. And part of peace through strength means you can see a plan. You can see a plan. You know what'll happen. Don't go there, because here's what they say they'll do. And, oh, by the way, they've proven they have the resolve to do it. And right now, nobody believes that Biden has resolve. Where is he right now? I guess he's taking a nap. I don't know. It was Jell-O time. I'm not sure. But that's where we are. Quick call before the bottom of the hour break. Is that Lee from Huntsville? Lee, how you doing?
Hey, I'm aghast at what's going on right now in the world. But here's my take on it. The only way that they can defeat the United States as a whole is by dividing us up into wars and conflicts on multiple fronts. You have this axis of communism, socialism, and I don't know, theocracy, wackadoodle, you know, with Russia, China, and all the different Middle Eastern states. They're all pulling us in different directions with this ever-present quagmire, which is going to be another Vietnam, I swear to God, in Ukraine, fighting over a corrupt country where our politicians can't let it fall out of their hands because there's a slush fund of money and too many secrets they cannot allow to get out from Ukraine, including biolabs, I might add. You've got Israel now needing our help because of Iran-backed, and make no mistake, anyone, Iran-backed every single bit of terrorism in the Middle East, pretty much. And they're funding this with the money that we gave them. We literally are giving them the money to defeat us because we are chumps, or this administration is chumps. And then you have China, which is licking its lips and waiting to attack Taiwan. The number one way to defeat us is by splitting us up on multiple fronts. This is exactly what they want. And Biden's giving it to him because he's the Manchurian candidate.
Fair enough, Lee. Got to go to break here momentarily, but concise and incisive as always. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
Yep. So I would agree. And that's the rub, is we are now neck deep in something that the Biden administration has no plan for, and that's Ukraine. And I don't want Russia to win. I don't. Russia does not deserve to just take a sovereign nation and do as it pleases. It doesn't work like that on the world stage, or it shouldn't. But right now, what we're seeing is we have got to all in. We're here for you for as long as it takes. What does that mean? All in what way? We're going to deplete our own readiness status in order to send stuff over ad nauseum. But at the same time, then Lee's not wrong. And then you have the Middle East. And then, oh, by the way, China sitting off in the wings. It's a dangerous time, folks. It's a dangerous time. There are what we call flashpoints right now. Hey, coming back in just a minute, we'll talk to retired 3-star General Jerry Boykin, former Special Operations Commander with a long history of knowing what it means to go to hard places and do hard things. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about this show, man. It goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We are in a unique situation right now. I just got a call from Lieutenant General Boykin's folks asking, could we hang on just a minute because the Cavuto show ran long, and I look up on my screen, and there's General Boykin on TV on the wall in the studio, just, you know, okay, Cavuto, freaking Cavuto.
I mean, come on. But so, what's cool is he's about to be right here on.
Yeah, he'll be on. We had to get bumped a few minutes because of Cavuto running long, but okay, we'll deal with it. General Jerry Boykin will be on the air momentarily. If we have to take a break just to get him on, we'll do that. But I guess I told his folks that the easy thing is when I see him go off the air, I'll know he's available.
That's right.
So we'll get him on after that. Hey, several text messages here. Mike from Athens says he sent me a YouTube video. Mike, I can't watch YouTube videos while I'm on the air. Something about that's the thing that's got a Hemi in it, guy. Okay. Brian from Decatur says, no one can tell me this many mistakes. Oh, yeah. He goes, see previous texts. Someone proved me wrong. That's the idea that what we're seeing is not a bunch of fallacies and just mistakes. This is, anyway. Jeff from Indiana texted in and said, I'm afraid Lee's comments are dead on. I'm not saying they're not. Brian from Huntsville says, Biden awake 7 hours after the attack on Israel? Awake, perhaps, but cognizant? I highly doubt it, he says. Wow. John from Huntsville just texted in a friendly, lighthearted manner and says, Boomer, I forgot to ask, did you enjoy your vacation?
Well, thank you, John. I did. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I told him everything went crazy when he left, though. So
it did.
Apparently, he's never allowed to leave ever again.
No.
So. James from Harvest says, missed you, Boomer. Phil, I'm totally in agreement with you. Russia shouldn't be able to just do whatever they want to on the world stage. But my thoughts are we have enough problems to deal with on the homelands here, and Lee is definitely onto something. Yeah, so here's the deal. I will just tell you, I do not believe in the isolationist doctrine. I believe there are times we will have to step outside of our borders and be the biggest dog on the block. I mean, here's where I am, and I am not saying, go fight everything that comes along. We're not the world's police. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is we cannot become so isolationist that if we forget that sometimes being the biggest good guy comes with responsibilities. It comes with a sense of duty at times. And I say that in terms of think about if you're your neighborhood. If you're sitting in your house and you knew that right across the street was someone who intended to come do your house harm, would you just sit there and wait? If you knew that you're sitting in your house and right next door was someone who was assaulting their children on a daily basis, even doing it right out in the yard where you could see it, would you just sit there and say nothing? Picture that on the world stage. We're the biggest house on the street, and we can see stuff happening. And there are times, when responsibility is brought to those who are the biggest on the street, because the defenseless might need someone to come to their aid. It doesn't mean we go fight every fight. We don't fight every war. We have to have a national interest. I understand that. But there are going to be times when we have to get outside our borders. And I say that just to prepare you. That is my opinion. There will be times when I believe we have to get outside of our borders. Now, how you do that matters too. And right now, I think that the Biden administration has botched Afghanistan, completely botched it, and put us in a picture on the world stage that we should not have been in. I think the Biden administration is botching Ukraine, botching it. Like, first of all, Ukraine is winning that fight. Russia is being embarrassed on the world stage. They're getting spanked on a daily basis. But we have gone at it in such a way that there's like, well, we're not going to give you F-16s. Okay, we'll give you F-16s. That's like a year later. We're not going to give you Abrams tanks. Well, okay, I am about a year later. We'll give you Abrams tanks. Make up your freaking mind and have a plan. But right now, and I've said it many times in the show, there's no plan. And then you've got flashpoints. Flashpoints are those things that, when they happen, they can have ramifications that go well beyond the moment. And right now, Israel is a potential flashpoint. Taiwan is a potential flashpoint. And I agree. Our enemies would love nothing more than to see us divided up in such a way that we have to respond on multiple fronts. And that's the danger. Are we prepared right now for the possibility of war on multiple fronts. And that's the thing. So here's the deal. I'm going to go ahead and take a break a little bit early so that we can go ahead and get General Boykin online. It looks like he is probably off the air right now. Cavuto is finally done with him, but we'll get General Boykin on the air here momentarily. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.